Able to gather together on a wonderful Lord's Day like this and sing praises to God and worship around His great throne. I appreciate the fact that we have visitors. We're always glad to have visitors. You encourage us by your presence. I want to mention before I forget it the fact that the CDs have been made. Brother Rich Campbell spent a great deal of time. I don't know how many copies were made, but probably around 42 different sets of these things, and that took a great deal of time to do. Appreciate not only the fact that Brother Campbell is willing to spend his time at home doing that, but also that Becky can send them out. And the Word of God is going forward as we mail out so many different sets of these that people will continue to hear the meeting and good will continue to be done. I want to mention this morning that if we lived in the Garden of Eden, we would have an altogether different kind of I think this is on, Bobby. We'll have a different kind of environment. We have storms around us. We have all kinds of nature problems as we go through life. And we have personal problems. And ever since we've been taken out of the garden, then we have recognized that these things have been so. Many times in the Bible, there will be certain things that are physical in nature that have an analogy in the spiritual realm. And as we think of that, you see, for example, in John 3, Jesus talked about the new birth. Nicodemus thought he's talking about natural birth, but Jesus had something spiritual in mind. The same thing is true about the problems of life. So this morning, we want to talk about making it through the storms of life. I've talked about some of these things prior, but I recognize that from time to time, we have especially difficult days in our life, and it takes a great deal of faith to see these things through. When you talk about the storms of life, it comes to mind sometimes the stormy sea. It talks about the things that happened in the life of Christ, particularly on the Sea of Galilee, as they had storms. And these storms are representative of the idea of things that happen to us in life. And it takes a great deal of understanding not to become bitter, not to look at life as a pessimist, but we have to recognize that we have to make it through these storms of life. And as we think of these things, we think also of the scriptures that are used with regard to Jesus and the Sea of Galilee. In Matthew chapter 8, Matthew 14, and John 6, you have the record of two particular storms. Jesus on one occasion had the disciples go to a boat, and as they were going to the boat, they had the storm beginning, and as the storms were raging, they thought they were about to die. And they woke Jesus up as Jesus was trying to do the things to make them believe. And he said, "O ye of little faith." The idea, of course, was that they were to learn trust in Christ during the storms of life. Now, the same thing is going to be true with us as well. On another occasion, the Lord was not in the boat with them. He was on the shore, aside praying, and the disciples were in the storm. And as the storm continued, Jesus came to them walking on the water. And as they saw Jesus walking on the water, some of them said, "Well, it must be a ghost." But Jesus said, "It is I." And Peter said, "Well, if it's you, let me come to you on the water." And Jesus asked him to come to him. And Peter began walking on the water. But the Bible says that as he walked on the water, he saw the waves and the wind, and his faith failed, and he began to sink. And Jesus had to help him into the boat. Now, these things are something that the storms of life and nature, but again, there's something more spiritual underway. As you begin to recognize that the storms of life affect your faith, and they affect the way that you look at life. We have to recognize that these things that are listed in the Bible with regard to Christ and the storms and the disciples have a higher meaning. And we can look at those things and recognize from those that just as Jesus rescued them from the raging sea on Galilee, so Jesus Christ can rescue us and save us and bring us faith and trust in the midst of life. Amen. That is sometimes extremely difficult, and we have to recognize that. And so we're going to have storms. If you've lived for any length of time, you understand that already. We have things happen to us in life, whether it's some illness or whether it's death, whether it's a tragedy of some kind, whether it's a loss of income, all kinds of things happen to us. And they're going to happen. So the idea when these things happen is we have to enjoy the good times while they're here and be thankful for what we have.
Amen.
Because we have to recognize that these things are fleeting. The book of Ecclesiastes has a lot to say about that, as Solomon describes life under the sun. And that you work so hard and do so many things to try to get successful in life, and it's just like the wind blowing. It's all vanity because they pass away. We have to learn then to enjoy. And I remember Brother Fite saying one time in one of his lessons during our meeting that we're to enjoy the day. We have blessings today. And we need to live in that moment and enjoy that moment. And that's what Solomon was telling us, particularly enjoy that in the Lord. And we have to recognize these good days. Then also to prepare for the storms before they come. There was an article that made the rounds a number of months ago about a young man that was hired on a farm. And he was asleep one night and a great big storm came up, and the farmer got up and woke him up and said, "What are you doing sleeping in this storm?" And he said, "I can sleep in a storm." Now, what it meant by that, he had already locked the gate, he had taken care of the livestock, he had already done the things that were needed to be done, so that when the storm got there, it didn't bother him at all. He was ready for the storm. Now, we can build ourselves up in that sense as well. I can recognize, yes, storms are going to come. They've come before, they're going to come again. But I live through them. And I might learn some things from these kinds of things, and so I have to recognize to get ready for those storms. And oftentimes, it's strange, storms come on the heel of success. I feel really good, and while I'm feeling good, something happens. And you wouldn't expect it. And that's the way it is so many times, that these things are unexpected. You're feeling so good, you've had a good day, you've had a good week, you've had a good month, maybe even you've had a good year, and then all of a sudden, that thing falls in on you. And you wonder about that. But it happens that way. You're not prepared for it sometimes. So we need to understand these storms are going to come, and we have to beware of shallow theology about those things. There was a fellow who was really famous, Norman Vincent Peale, who had the idea of optimism. No matter what happened, just be optimistic. Just be optimistic. Well, that doesn't always work. A lot of people bought into that, and you know, you can't be optimistic about something when it's very tragic. And people often have a shallow theology. People lose someone, and somebody will tell you, "Well, God just took them," or "God wanted them more than you wanted him," or all kinds of shallow theology when they really don't know what they're talking about. But they will try to encourage you as best they know how, but they're using human wisdom and not really the Bible sort of thing. And so I'm trying to get in front of us this morning about six things. I'm not sure I'll make it all the way through. You know, when I first began to preach, I had trouble finding things to say. You might not believe that, but I had trouble finding things to say, and I'd have to really search my mind, and now I find myself running out of time because I have so many things to say. But I've learned a few things through the years, and I hope you'll bear with me as we look at some of the things to remember when these storms come your way. First of all, remember who's in control. That has been so much of my life that I have recognized that. I get all caught up in politics, and it's so frustrating when I see things that are done that I think are dumb. But after a while, I say, well, you know, I really can't do much about that. I'll just let God take care of it. So he's going to take care of Russia and America and Iraq and Iran, and he's going to take care of all this. I just have to believe that God's going to do that. So why should I get all bent out of shape? I have to remember who's in control. And so you go back again to the idea of the storms. Jesus spoke the word, and the storm was calmed. He really just was able to, and here were the men who were going to be the apostles, learning that he had the control of nature. Not only does he control life, but he controls the things of my life. I believe I'm in a better position than I would have been otherwise because I've asked the Lord to help me make decisions. I recognize that sometimes I'm not the smartest person in the room, and I have to recognize that sometimes I make bad decisions. And I pray about those things, and I believe that God will help me involved in these things. And so here were these disciples in a storm, and the boat they thought were going to sink, and Jesus was asleep. He was asleep. And so they woke him up. And he said, "Why are you worrying? Peace, be still."
Amen.
Paul talked about a peace that passes understanding.
Amen.
And you can have that. When life gets really rough, when things are not like you want them to be, you've lost something very dear, when life is really dealing you a blow, you can have the kind of peace that passes understanding because you trust in God.
Amen.
I may die. I may die. I may have a lot of ill health and things of that nature. But you know, this life is so short. The Bible calls it just a breath.
Amen.
Like dew on the grass that when the sun comes up, it just evaporates. It's hard to really understand that until you've lived long enough to see your past life, but it really does happen that way. And God is in control, and He controls the seas. God may have appointed the storm, may not have appointed the storm, but He can allow it. And I look at a couple of things. First of all, with regard to Job, when God was discussing Job with the devil. The devil was bringing accusations against Job. God was saying, "Look what a good man Job is." And the devil said, "Yeah, he's a good man because you pay him off. You've given him herds and cattle and children and riches, and he serves you because it's to his advantage to serve you." And the Lord said, "No, he trusts me because it's right." And the devil said, "Let's take these things away and see what he does." And God allowed that. And sometimes God is going to allow us, because of nature being corrupted by sin, God's going to allow us to have things happen to us. He doesn't bring it on me, but I live in a disturbed world. Have to recognize we have storms and tribulations and things happen to us. And these things are going to affect me very personally. They have in the past. They will in the future. They're going to affect me very personally. But I've got to recognize that God is in control. And the book of Ecclesiastes also talks about the same thing, that God allows things to happen to us because, and Peter talks about it as well, because when you have been through the fires of trouble, you come out stronger on the other side.
Amen.
Now, you might not believe that, but we have, even in our country, we have a saying, if it doesn't kill you, it makes you stronger. You know that's true. It is true to the sense that if you hold on to God in your life, if you hold on to your faith in Jesus Christ, when terrible things happen to you and you do come through them, you're stronger on the other side. You have more faith and you're able to help others who are going through those same things. A lot of times the best friend that you have is somebody who's been through the same thing, and they understand. They can empathize rather than sympathize. And so we have to learn who's in control. And I have to recognize in all of life there's a purpose. People have the question, why me? What's it all about? There's a song, "What's It All About?" And the idea that somebody has attained success and wealth and they're famous, and it seems so empty. What is it all about? And folks, that's exactly what we need to ask. We need to understand, though, there's a purpose to life. We're not just walking aimlessly through. We have a purpose in life. And Jesus told the disciples to get into the boat. Now, I don't know whether he foreknew, he could have, the storm. But Jesus knew that regardless of the circumstances, he could save them.
Amen.
He knew that. And that is something that they had to learn. Now, here's a lesson for us to learn. Sometimes, with all good intentions, people people can't do very much. We search at times of trauma. We search for something to say. You go to a hospital. You try to say something to somebody that's suffering, and you find very limited words available to you. But when you recognize that there's a trust in God that goes beyond words, you can't weigh that.
Amen.
You can't put a price on it. But it truly gives you inner strength. Inner strength to fight the issues of life. Temptations, troubles, discouragements, those things come through life in everybody's life. We've been talking, and when Rich makes announcement, he talks about praying for the ones on our prayer list, but Elsa says, pray for everybody in the church. That's right, because we all need prayers. It's a wonderful thing to one by one by one to lift up your name to God in heaven and to recognize that your name comes before the throne of God. And to recognize that we do that on very regular occasions. So Jesus knew what he was doing. And again, the storms of life teach us something. They teach us patience, if we can hold on to these kinds of things and see the way through. They teach us so many things about patience and endurance and how to sympathize with someone else and really how to be in touch with God. One of the main lessons I think we need to learn from all of this is that we're needy people. We're needy people. There are some things I can't handle. There's some things that are bigger than me. There's some things against which I'm sort of helpless. And somewhere along the line, when I learned the lesson that I need God, I've learned something great. My relationship with God is the most important thing there is. I enjoy wonderful relationships with my family, with my friends, with brethren. I enjoy all those things. But they all pale when it comes to my need of God. I say again, I think there is within each one of us a black hole. Now, we understand astronomically what a black hole is, and it's something that is so gravity pulls things into that hole that they can't even get out. It's a great pull. And I think we have something like that in us. Call it what you want to. There is a need in me. I'm not speaking for you. There's a need in me for God. And no matter where in the world you go, you find people worshiping something. There is in each person in the world this understanding that I need something bigger than me. Now, with my knowledge of the Bible and your knowledge of the Bible, I know that's God. And I feel that need for God. Now, if you don't understand that, if you don't feel that, yes, religion is an emotional thing. Not just emotional, but it is emotional. I need God. And there are times when I don't know what to do or what to say. And I rely upon the Bible. It's a difficult thing to preach a funeral. You're talking to people who are hurting. You're talking to people who have lost something. And humanly speaking, I'm inadequate. I can't tell you how many times I felt inadequate about saying something that the people need. But what helps me is to realize there are words in the Bible that speak to that.
Amen.
And I point people to God because that's what we need. And I don't care what condition you're in. I don't care what the situation is. When you turn to God, you find peace.
Amen.
How many times have people in trouble read the Psalms and been quiet? How many times have people felt troubled in the night and turned to God's Word and read the Bible and find peace? Because that's what God intends. There's a purpose to life that I need to recognize and understand. The Bible tells me about that. Remembering there's a purpose. Through faith, storms can refine us, purify us, and bring about the salvation of our souls. I want to come to 1 Peter chapter 1. And I'm trying to see where I left my New Testament. I must have had it down on the there. So let me go to this Old Testament. Find, if you would please, turn with and beginning with verse 6. 1 Peter chapter 1, beginning of verse 6. wherein you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been put to grief in manifold trials, that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perisheth, though it is proved by fire, may be found with you, unto praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ. What that tells me, that the smelting process, which is a natural thing in life, has a spiritual application. And when you take ore, it contains diamonds, it contains gold, it contains silver, but it's all mixed in with dirt. And what the company does that mines that ore is they burn it. They call it smelting. And they burn away what they call the dross, and what's left is pure gold. Now that analogy is true for Christians.
Amen.
That we have all kinds of dirt around us, things around us that hinder us, that hold us to this earth. And that the proper understanding of trials and tribulations is that God uses that to make me stronger, like burning with fire to smelt out that dross. Now, if you can conceive that, I've said a number of times that there's a lot of conceptions in the Bible. There are a lot of things that have a concept that I need to grasp. And if I can grasp that life is... I can be purified and refined. And the end result is better than what I started with. That's life.
Amen.
That's life with God. Now, some people go through that and they get bitter, they get angry, they make bad mistakes because they're not understanding the purpose of life or the purpose of suffering. And I'm hoping then that all of us together can understand that as bad as life gets, God gives us grace to get through it.
Amen.
He gives us grace to get through it. And when I get through it, I'm going to be stronger so that I can be of more of a service to other people going through the same process. And you see how I'm running out of time. But Peter said, in this you greatly rejoice, though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved by various trials. Now you put yourself in this passage. What's happened to you in your life? That the genuineness of your faith, being much more precious than gold that perishes, though it's tested by fire, may be found to praise, honor, and glory at the revelation of Jesus Christ. And so those things help us. And remember, there's a purpose about Jesus Christ, whom not having seen you love, though now you do not see him, yet believing, you rejoice with joy inexpressible, full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, the salvation of your souls. I said a moment ago that religion is emotional. I think we've struggled to get emotion out of it, because we've seen so many people make mistakes by emotion. They live by emotion. They don't live by the Word of God. Folks, I want to tell you, there's a lot of emotion to being a Christian. There's a lot of tears to life. We have those tears. God gave us tears for a purpose. And those tears sometimes shed. And it hurts when those things happen. But at the same time, there's a purpose to that. And we're such victors if we can understand that purpose, the salvation of our souls. It's more important than those things that are temporary. And I often use this passage out of the Bible, better the house of mourning than the house of joy. Here's a little thing that someone said. I walked a mile with pleasure, she chattered all the way, but left me none the wiser for all she had to say. I walked a mile with sorrow, and never a word said she, but all the things I learned that day from her when sorrow walked with me. That's why the Bible says it's better to go to the house of mourning than the house of joy. You don't learn anything when you're having fun. But when you go through these trials of life, you can't help but learn some things.
Amen.
And you draw closer to God, and you get stronger. So these are the things that we need to understand. And, you know, we have earthly friends, and thank God for friends. But we only have one friend like Jesus.
Amen.
And we need to really understand that being right with God puts everything else right in our life. And then remember that Jesus is our intercessor. Jesus had gone up to the mountain to pray. He was praying to his Father. And sometimes we may think, well, Jesus, where is he? Where is Jesus today? And you wonder where that is. Where is Jesus today? But the Bible tells us he's right where he's always been.
Amen.
He hasn't moved. Heard the story one time about a man and wife, been married a while. And she said, "You don't sit close to me like you did when we were dating." And he said, "Well, I sit under the wheel like I've always been. Where have you moved to?" And sometimes we lose ourselves away from God. We need to remember he's always where he's always been. And that can, that gives you so much trust and hope in life and those kinds of things. Remember that Jesus is our intercessor. We need to know that Jesus is working for us. In fact, one of the passages out of the New Testament, the last chapter of Hebrews 1, the last verse of Hebrews 1, talks about angels who are ministering spirits sent forth on behalf of those who shall inherit eternal life. I don't pretend to understand about everything about angels, but I know what Hebrews 1 says about angels, that God sends angels to minister on our behalf. Now, I'm not one of those that get caught up in an angel cult. I don't have a statue of an angel in my house. I don't pray to angels or anything of that nature. What I do understand is that angels are spirits of God that he sends out on my behalf.
Amen.
Now, that's all I need to know. Where is Jesus when I'm in trouble? You remember years ago there was something really popular about steps in the sand. And here were footprints in the sand, and there were single footprints. And somebody was saying, "Where was God when I needed you? I was going through this difficult time. I left my footprints in the sand. Where was God when I needed him?" And the answer came back, "Well, those are the footprints of Jesus. He was carrying you. He was carrying you through this ordeal."
Yeah.
I felt that. I've understood that. There have been times in my life, as all of you have experienced, when things don't go right. I've never felt alone. And we need to understand that. The Bible so clearly tells us that. Hebrews chapter 13 tells us he will never leave us alone. That's good and that's bad. It's bad if you're not a believer, because the Word of God is going to come at you. It's going to pester you. It's going to teach you how wrong you are, and you may hate it. But when you love the Lord and you recognize this black hole that's in you and you know that Jesus is with you, it's so comforting. He will never leave me alone. I don't care what corner of the earth I go to. I remember reading from Brother Ron Halbrook in the Philippines. He's been over there 50 some times now, and he's done a tremendous lot of good. But he misses his family. And he says, "I go outside and I look up at the moon. And I know that the moon that I see is the same moon that my wife sees back in Kentucky. And it gives me comfort."
Amen.
Well, now make an application of that. Jesus is our helper. He never will leave us. No matter where in the world you are, Jesus is just as near to you in Asia as he is here in America. Because it's not a matter of distance. It's a matter of faith.
Amen.
When those disciples in the boat were waking Jesus up, they were so afraid. He said, "Oh, ye of little faith." And he spoke and the winds calmed. And so those are the things that we need to understand. And remember, you can't make it on your own. The Bible says about those disciples in the boat, they had been rowing for 3 or 4 miles against a contrary wind. And they weren't doing it. But the Bible tells us very clearly that works are not going to save us. It's by the grace of God that we're saved. And I fully believe that. Now, don't confuse works that's condemned with obedience, which is approved. God always approves of obedience. But when I have the idea I can make it on my own, there are some things bigger than me. I remember talking to a lady who's now in a nursing home. And she's doesn't have her right mind anymore. She went through a period of time where she was sick and lost oxygen, and her mind is about gone. But she was in the process of leaving the Lord. And I talked to her at her home, and was trying to get her to understand her need of God. And she said, well, I just don't feel like I need him. I just don't feel like I need God. And I said, don't you understand there are some things that are bigger than you are? And she didn't. She said, I just don't need God. She went through some very tragic circumstances. Her husband died. Her children are gone, unfaithful. And she's lying curled up in a nursing home, not in the right mind. And I just want her to feel that need for God. Now, that's what is different between me and a horse, and a dog, and a cat. I need God, and they don't know God. They're just animals. But I can understand that and the need of it. And you can't make it on your own. You can hear the disciples saying, row harder. Let's fight this wind. But they weren't able to do it because it was too much for them. We had to understand that. And I don't think I'm weak when I say I need Jesus.
Amen.
I'm just a human being. I'm a created thing. I'm made by God. And I need Jesus Christ in my life. We sang the good songs that were picked out this morning about Jesus. And He's my King.
Amen.
He's my Savior. And I need Him every day. So, Jesus is always near. He's always close by. He was with them in the stormy sea, and they didn't recognize it. And we may not recognize it sometimes. There was another story about a flood and a man up on a rooftop, and he was surrounded by water, and he's afraid he's going to drown. He kept praying, send somebody, send Jesus to me. I need help. I need somebody to rescue me. And a boat came by with the Coast Guard, and he wouldn't get in the boat. He said, I'm waiting for Jesus. Another boat came by, and he wouldn't get in the boat. He said, I'm waiting for Jesus. And the Lord said, I've sent you two boats, and you wasn't smart enough to get in. We sometimes don't see Jesus when He's really working for us, and He'll come to calm our fears. And this is something that happens in the midst of all kinds of trouble, to remember that. So, He has the power over the wind and the sea. When Jesus is in our lives, there's peace.
Amen.
And I just want you to feel it. I want you to have it. That's what I do is preaching. The gospel of Christ, the good news about Jesus Christ, that all this stuff that is such a turmoil in life. And you can have all kinds of troubles. You know, you go through all kinds of things, from death to divorce to sickness, all those kinds of things. But there in the middle of all these things can be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who loves you, who gave Himself for you, that you might be His child. Is anyone here today who doesn't understand that? It's worth your while to consider. I'm a messenger about Jesus Christ to tell you that He's there, that He's our helper, that in the storms of life you have a refuge that you can go to and you can know that God is on your side. If you need to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ and baptism for remission of sins, Jesus is the answer because He shed His blood for that very reason. If you've been unfaithful in your life to the Lord, then we need to have you to pray. We pray for you that your sins can be forgiven. You'll be restored in full faith in Jesus Christ. Whatever your cause, if you need to respond, we ask you to come as we stand together and sing the invitation song.